Here. So today I'm going to talk about the neutrino physics in the dark sector. I think it is also some kind of new physics. So let me go. So just for formality, we all know that 96% we live in a universe where 96% is still unknown to us. But in this dark sector, most probably dark matter is not a modification of gravity, and the indication comes from the recently observed bullet cluster, where the baryons and the dark matter halo experience different force, and that's why most probably it's a beyond standard model particle, the dark matter. And whereas the dark energy, the possibilities are still open. It might be a cosmological constant, or it might be a scalar field, which is quintessence, a well-studied candidate, or it might be a modified gravity, or it might be some new physics in sub-electron volt, some milli-electron volt scale. So here is a brief outline of what I'm going to talk about. First, I need it because this a brief introduction to quintessence, because what I'm going to talk about, an introduction to quintessence will help. And then I will review a recent work on this dark energy sector, where dark energy is connected to neutrino, and we will see that neutrino mass is not a constant in nature, it varies with time or that's it. And then I will talk about mainly late forming dark matter, which is the work I did with my advisor at New York University, Neil Weiner. And we'll see, like, as neutrino controls both the dark energy and dark matter, because the dark energy, the second thing I will be reviewing is the neutrino as a dark energy, and also if we can get a dark matter candidate, then it might be a good clue to the coincidence problem. Okay, let me go to the brief review of quintessence. So nature will be really cruel, like, if dark energy is a cosmological constant, because observations will not guide us to understand the microscopic physics, like whether it is due to some mechanism in nature or it's anthropically selected from landscape. And whereas the dark energy is dynamical, whereas equation of state is not like cosmological constant, not equals to minus one, and it changes with Hubble's time, then new dynamics appear and we can measure experimentally W, and that can shed light on the dark sector, like especially the dark energy. So a well-studied candidate for that, as we all know, that is quintessence, where a scalar field rolls down through a self-interacting potential. So here is a brief review of quintessence. This was first introduced by the pioneering work of Rathra and Hebel. So the motivation to introduce this quintessence model is basically what is called as coincidence problem. So as we all know that the dark matter and dark and the radiation in the universe redshifts differently. Is one is one goes as 1/8 cube, and another goes as 1/8^4. And whereas also if dark energy is a cosmological constant or slowly varying, like with equation state is very close to minus one today, but it is not varying rapidly like dark matter or radiation, then they span a huge order of magnitude, and their evolution is dramatically different in the past, but they happen to be of the same order today, and we need it for us to be here, for the structure to be formed. So here is the coincidence problem. Like, why the dark matter and dark energy density are of the same order? That is the first part of the coincidence problem. Suppose you start here with the dark energy density, and it might happen, so here is the dark energy. It might happen that it never crossed the matter, it never take over matter. So it just falls like it might. Then, so that is the thing, like why it even takes over matter. And the second part is sometimes people call it a damn coincidence, like what it is now. So quintessence, the success of quintessence is like what they showed, that whatever, like for a long range of initial conditions of the field here, phi and phi dot, the dark energy is predestined to cross the matter at some point of time. So in that sense, they really take care of this why they are of the why they cross each other. But to have that crossing happens nearly today in the cosmic epoch that we all know from experiment, then we really need to fine-tune the potential. Like, here is the thing. So here you have the, say, I take it for example, there might be other potentials also. So this is the strength of the potential. And you need to fine-tune M to get the crossover happen today, which is we know from experiment. So this is the damn coincidence problem actually not taken care by the quintessence. But bad news is, even like as we know from experiment, that W, the equation of state, like how the dark energy evolves in time, when it is close to minus one, then it really also like don't give that so much freedom in choosing the initial conditions which I was talking about. Then also it restricts the initial conditions, like you need to, the large basins get reduced. So these are the basic reviews of quintessence and things. Now this scale of M, like which has to be of the order of Hubble, which is much lower than the normal particle physics scale. So the question arises, like, is it possible to have a dark energy model without such a huge fine-tuning? So that will be the basis of my talk. So if we look for the particles what we have in our standard model, the only neutrinos, its mass is of the same order of the dark energy density, 10 to the power minus 2.5 electron volt. And also neutrino mass is not very well measured. So here is the, you can say that this is the talk I'm going to give, that whether neutrino can shed light on the dark sector or it can control the dynamics in the dark sector. So motivation, as I just told, the scales are appropriate, the dark energy density and the neutrino mass. So it could be a great clue to the coincidence problem. And neutrino is neutral in the low energy theory and it can mix with the dark sector. And as we know that relic neutrino we see from smooth background, so it can be a candidate for dark energy. So let's see.
Sorry, when you're comparing there, the one's a density, the other's a mass. I'm not sure I understand.
The fourth. It's 1/4.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. So the 1/4, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your third bullet point?
Here?
Yeah.
Like, we know that neutrino is not clamped in our universe.
Yeah.
So, like, if it is really clamped, like dark matter or like that, then it's very hard to come with the dark energy thing.
You mean because it's hot dark matter, so it's not cold? Because
no, I'm not talking about dark matter, I'm talking about dark energy. So I'll come to that, like,
okay.
Yeah, here it's not dark matter. We know that neutrino cannot be dark matter.
Probably yeah. Need some extra
in the Otherwise. Yeah.
Some people play the dark matter is neutrinos. Bekenstein and Milgram and Royal. They're using a 2.2 electron volt band neutrino mass to patch up the cluster.
That's with modified gravity.
With modified gravity.
Yeah.
This is how they are trying to get out of the problem is that two electron volts are right on the edge of the experiment.
Yeah.
And it's about to go away.
Okay, so let me, so this is not the work I have done, so let me just review it briefly, like to motivate my work in the dark matter sector. So here we have our standard model sector, and there is a dark sector. So as he pointed out, so you have active neutrino, nu, and you have this right-handed partner here, which lives in the dark sector, and they couple through Higgs. And you have a coupling. Then also there is another scalar field A. So this fermion in the dark sector gets an Yukawa coupling, a very healthy Yukawa coupling, and you have a potential here. So this scalar field A is basically the kind of quintessence things. And it gives rise to a new force between the neutrino because of this U power coupling, and you have a potential VA. So how they get connected? So this is kind of a mini seesaw mechanism. We are all aware of the seesaw mechanism for neutrino mass. So if you write the neutrino mass here, so these terms are coming from this coupling, and this is the term from here. So now if you diagonalize it, so this is the crucial thing. Like the light neutrino eigenstate is md square over lambda a. So neutrino mass depends on the scalar field a, which is kind of quintessence things. And the other eigenstate is pretty heavy, which is lambda a. So here we will see that this dependence of neutrino mass on the scalar field a is the crucial thing of like having connecting neutrino to the dark energy.
Yes. So now, if I count, how many unknown particles do I have?
Here, you have, in the dark sector, you have a scalar.
So you have the Higgs, which has not been seen.
Higgs here, in the standard model.
Yeah, the Higgs has not been seen.
Yeah.
Acceleron field has not been seen.
Yeah.
Steron fermion has not been seen, so that's three.
Yeah. Because, as you know, the neutrino mass is there, so you expect...
it's three unknown.
Yeah.
But it's also true that it's very hard to see all three.
Yeah, it's very hard because they're energy scales.
So that's a heavy price to pay.
It's not really fair to count the Higgs, is it?
What?
It's not really fair to count the Higgs as being part of it.
Why not?
Because it's kind of part of every model or some kind of degree of
fairness.
Not sure. Okay. Some vacuum expectation higher excess than the classes range.
I could be condensate on a heavy top, a new top core.
But the thing is like, as dark energy is detected, so so here, like, if you write the house equation, the Friedman equation here, so now the crucial thing is here. Like, in quintessence, you have, like, in quintessence model of dark energy, you have a scalar potential here for slow roll, and you have the dark matter. But here you get another contribution because the neutrino mass depends on the scalar A, which is dark energy. So the effective potential is basically this. Now, if you want to see it pictorially, so this is the thing where this.
I can ask something. Yeah. This mu, is it?
Here, like, it's the active.
And
yeah.
I assume that sterile is not populated.
We'll see, like, the depending on this mass, like, yeah. Okay. So here, like, that is the idea of Justin's work, the chameleon things. Like, this is the potential, say, take the potential VA. And if this scalar field dependence on the of neutrino mass was not there, then the field will just simply roll up to its infinity, like that's the basic property of Rannan potential. But here, this thing stabilizes, you get a minimum and field stays in the minimum. So the dynamics is really controlled by the neutrino, the evolution of the neutrino density. So as neutrino, as you know, the universe cools down, so neutrino density gets lower. So then at a later time, the minimum shifts here. And that's why the fields adiabatically stays in the minima, and you achieve a slow rolling conditions. So here is the thing: like, if you want to calculate the equation of state, it's basically close to minus one. So that has to be close to zero. That's why you need a very flat potential. And
so what's NV? What's the value of NV?
Yeah, MG is, like, it depends on the coupling, why it has to be pretty low, like 10 to the power minus 11, or like 10 to the power minus 10. To get the neutrino mass of the order of, like, 0.1 0.001, right?
I see. So ND is a order of a mean dB.
Yeah, million. Yeah.
So your scalar field A will not change by much.
Yeah, its mass will not get sensed that. Yeah.
And then V of A, you...
Actually, I remember they have worked with like very fast potential, like logarithmic or fractional power law, because you need it to get the equation of state close to minus one.
Yeah.
But we'll see that...
So in some sense, I'm always confused about that. So, because they wanted to tie neutrino mass to the scale of dark energy, but in the end, it's... probably put in the problem by hand in some sense, right? Because you must choose a scale for V as well.
No, so that we'll see, like, this thing actually there has a problem. So if you supersymmetrize it, you get a different kind of setup. And you don't, in a normal superpotential setup, you get a different setup where that you don't need to choose like that, right? To get the dark energy. So, because here, that's the problem. Like, it's very hard to get microscopic origin of this flat potential, like very fractional ball, and also like the quadratic dipole from the load corrections.
Yeah, I guess I'm just saying that even if whatever the slope is, that scalar field must still come to dominate today as something with equation of state close to minus one.
Yeah, but the thing is, that's true. It's kind of a, that's why in that sense a quintessence things. Like, but basically, the height is determined by the neutrino mass. It will be stabilized.
Right.
Yeah. So that's why you get scale. If this basically says like the neutrino mass and the dark energy is not a mere coincidence, it gets carried in the fast process.
So your model is internalizable. So what if I at high energy I take V of A exactly zero and I just calculate the irradiating for the induced V of A? What is V of A going to be?
Actually, I haven't worked out on this model but I guess this problem is there. You need some cutoff. Yeah.
I don't think so. Coupling, you need to specify V of A at some scale, but you want to encounter bad variable. Tragic divergence because the coupling of A to M bar N is an internalizable coupling.
Yeah.
The theory is to perfect the internalizable. So you can start.
But this here gets corrections. Right.
Yeah. Of course it gets corrections. Yeah. But I'm saying you can imagine that there is no potential at all with some sort of symmetry at that high energy. And you can even.
Yeah, that will see like.
Calculate used to be a fake. Maybe that would fix the question that just
exists. Yeah, scale would appear in
the right. It would immediately appear in the
yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm.
So you had to fine tune the quotient problem.
Yeah, in this. Yeah.
Okay, this is it's like the problem of inflation. You have to fine tune to get flat potential.
Yeah, you need a very alpha to be very small, like say it's 5 to the power.
You still have a
question
as well.
Yeah, in this case, the coincidence, still I haven't spoken about the coincidence thing. Yeah, So
at early times, the neutrino is more and more like really,
Because it's mv squared over a was heavier, a became the value because the larger. So. So basically, the success of the model is what is not solving the coincidence problem, but it says like neutrino mass and the dark energy density is not a mere coincidence, but it holds from a long time back. So that's why M nu varies with Z.
So what's the mass inside the sun?
It's 10 to the power, like it has to be like pretty light, minus 3 or 10 to the minus 4.
No, I mean, sorry.
Oh, in the sun?
Yeah, in dense environments, it has to be lighter.
Oh, that I don't know, actually. Yeah, because it's a function of, Actually, they have worked out all of these things. We don't say the mass varying things. I can get them.
Yeah, although they are sensitive only to densities of neutrino themselves, no? Or not all. I mean, it's a chameleon mechanism.
Yeah.
Just apply to neutrinos, to the separate sector, if I understand.
Yeah.
It's not applied to all.
Yeah, because it's the only coupling to the. Yeah. So here are the theoretical questions he pointed out, like the small fractional power law potential has no obvious microscopic origin, and also radiative corrections are there unless some new states appear in the Sabi. So also there is a cosmological issue, like that was the work done by Jagarija. They showed that, like in, they did an analysis and they showed that if neutrinos are not really relativistic, because of this extra fifth force, it can clamp and they can spoil the dark energy behavior. They will like evolve as dark matter. So anyway, let me move. Right. So when you supersymmetrize this simple theory, then you really take care of all these problems. So here is also, like, it's not my work. So it's the work by Nelson and Weinert last year. So they try to supersymmetrize this kind of setup to take care of that process. So the basic idea is you have a hidden sector and you get your supersymmetry breaking in standard model, and the, let the supersymmetry breaking scale be TEB, like in gauge mediated supersymmetry breaking. Now this dark sector, you write the super potentials like motivated from the interactions I had in the last transparencies. So then the supersymmetry breaking effects is like transferred here only through gravity, because this is coupled by graviton. So that's why you get the supersymmetry breaking scale here. Is here it is TEB, and you get a suppression of M clamp, and that's the dark energy scale. So that's why you get the supersymmetry breaking masses of the order of 10 to the power minus 3 electron volt. And if you write the scalar potential for this thing, you have two scalar here now, because you have the acceleron and also you have the scalar partner of your right-handed neutrino. And the structure of the potentials is very nice in the sense, like it looks like a hybrid potential of inflations, like when the two scalar field is there. So I'll talk about that. So, but it's still here, we assume that the constant term in the potential is zero by some mechanism. And then you also have to add the contribution from the md square over lambda a to this potential. And when you write this whole potential, it's like the hybrid potential of a and a tilde. And the mechanism is very nice, so that we can see pictorially. So this is your air field gets stabilized by this neutrino density. And then when the value of a is higher in the past, the mass term for this n tilde, which is getting the value from here, is positive. But when the universe cools down, the mass term, it becomes tachyonic, and it can roll up from here. So the basic idea is that this scalar field is still staying in the metastable minimum, and the difference, this energy is basically behaving as the dark energy today. So this is the supersymmetric model of that mass-varying neutrino. So here, what I said, like the scalar partner of the neutrino is behaving like a waterfall field, and A is the slowly rolling field. And when the air waves goes down, suddenly this field becomes tachyonic and rolls up. But if it doesn't roll up, then it can stay in the metastable minimum. And it's like the latent heat, like trapped in a metastable medium and can behave as a dark energy. But when the universe really cools off in future, it no longer behaves as dark energy, because it will roll off from this minimum and it becomes tachyonic.
There are two fields, right?
Yeah.
A is complex.
A?
A. It's a supersymmetric model, so A has to be complex. But a complex.
Mm.
It's a Susi model, right?
Yeah.
So the scalar has a real and imaginary part, isn't it?
Actually, I'm not that much aware of this. My work is on the cosmological side, but I can talk to you about this because it's the best.
Okay.
must be because of magnitude.
Yeah, it's the magnitude.
Well, that's why I'm asking, because they're all mu has a just it's like that, right? I mean, so supersymmetric model has a complex scale, right? So it has to be complex scale.
That's why.
Maybe double way if it's just in the
point. No, I'm just asking what happens to another scale, right? So you're just talking about one scale, right? There's another scale.
Yeah, we have to take look that degree. Of, but this is the modulus. Yeah. Yeah, I can talk to you.
Sorry, can I ask you? So, just as in the previous model,
what
happens in the future of the universe in that model? Because.
No, like, without supersymmetry, I mean?
Yeah, because the neutrino, when dark energy starts dominating, the neutrino would redshift very quickly away, but at the same time, A is going towards to zero. So, does the neutrino come back and dominate again somehow?
I can see what he was saying.
I mean, it's not a relevant question, I'm just curious what happens. Because the mass of these guys diverge, right, as you...
One over it. Right. So in that case, you can calculate the energy of the metastable minima, and it's given by this md to the power 4 over lambda squared. And as it is like staying almost all the time because it's dynamic, so its equation of state is almost like a cosmological constant. So here, from here, you know that md to the power 4 over lambda squared is the dark energy density, which we know from experiment. So now that requirement that the field, the mass of the field has to be positive because otherwise it will roll out. That means that the AFF has to be high. So you need that lambda A greater than MD, which basically translates that the neutrino, the mass MD has to be less than T, that neutrino temperature. And as we know that T neutrino is approximately 10 to the power minus 4 electron volt, and then requiring dark energy density like MD to the power 4 over lambda squared to be the value of dark energy today, you naively replace MD by this value, temperature, then you get a constant of the coupling, lambda has to be less than 10 to the power minus 3 to match the dark energy scale. So which is good, because this neutrino has to be relativistic, and that's the work of Jaldarian, that they said like, unless neutrinos are relativistic, they can come and can spoil the dark energy behavior of this neutrino fluid. So in that sense, like this takes care of that when you supersymmetrize, naturally you get rid of that constant. So here is a brief review like what I have done. So we have introduced like new sector, like it's a dark energy sector, dark matter, dark energy sector. And it's the same as standard model, like you have a parameter which is sensitive to high energy physics. Unless you have new states appears or like it's new states appear, otherwise it's finely tuned or it's anthropically selected. Here is also thing that if cosmological constant is dynamical, we still assume that the constant term is zero by some mechanism, and is dynamical, then some new states, the supersymmetry in that low energy supersymmetry is there to take care of the quadratic, the loop corrections, and if it is not, then it's finely tuned and anthropically selected. So here is the thing. Now I will talk to the what I have done. So still now, neutrino is connected to the dark energy, the mechanism I described, but what he pointed out, it actually hasn't addressed the coincidence issue, because here the success is neutrino is connected to the dark energy, but the dark matter and dark energy, we haven't spoke anything about dark matter. So the question is whether dark matter can arise in this low energy theory. Now, as you know that the neutrino itself cannot be dark matter because it's pretty light, and because it's pristine, the structure cannot be formed. Though we know the power spectra, we measure the power spectra, and from that we can get a constant even for the constant on the neutrino mass and what's the fraction it can contribute to the dark matter. Now the thing is whether the dark matter can arise from neutrino. this kind of theory. So here, before I go to the my work, so let me motivate. Like, this is a general scenario. It has no connection to the neutrino. Yes. Yeah.
So this A scalar is a super partner of this
A.
A scalar is a super partner.
No, A is still a scalar, but N tilde is a super partner of the right hand scalar. There are two.
Oh,
yeah. A and N tilde.
What's the mass of N tilde?
It has to be like 10 to the power minus 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's it will be then, by all counts, the lightest LSP, right? The lightest supersymmetric partner.
I know, it's like another sector, like, yeah.
So when it couples to the neutrinos, and then it before couples to the next to light supersymmetric part, and it couples with a coupling which is 10 to the minus 11, which would lead to the very late decay of the next to light supersymmetric part into this LSP, delayed until after the DBM, and that is a very precarious situation.
Right. Depends on the next to light supersymmetric particle was, right?
Sure, but anything, if you take a coupling as small as 10 to the minus 11 and calculate its lifetime, it's immediately into the seconds range, right? So now there's a question whether you can organize it very, very efficiently.
It's like 10 to the power minus 4. Yeah. In the gauge media,
So you think it will be sucked into the gravity?
Yes.
So why hasn't A tilde been seen?
It's coupled to the normal sector with a strength of 10 to the
minus 11.
And you can't produce it in 10
to the minus 11 is an unnatural.
No, it's not unnatural because we have electron coupling, like if I have 10 to the minus 5. It's unnatural, like when it gets. Because if you have a low value, then it is not unstable, like Higgs mass, like you call up. So in that sense, we have electron to do coupling.
10 to the minus 11 is a very small dimensionless coupling.
Yeah, like we have 10 to the minus. Yeah, that's the question, but it is like if you put this number, then it like not like Higgs, like it gets corrections and it blow up, like it's in that sense.
So this A field is
like
a dark energy.
Yeah, but it's
become a hybrid in supersymmetric.
Yeah.
And at some point you get a waterfall field.
Yeah.
But then it won't be coherent anymore. You'll get
coherent. That I will talk, and that will give rise to because the mass of the A field will be but the N tilde will become a the tachyonic, and it can have a coherent oscillations, and then it can behave as a dark.
But then your dark energy will be turning into dark matter.
Yeah, that's why this is the motivation. Like,
but you want your dark matter to turn into dark energy, right? Because we want dark energy at late times and dark matter at early times, kind of.
No, because that's why I will come to that. It's okay. So here is the just you pointed out like general considerations. It has no relation to what I am going to talk. It has no relation with neutrino. So if you have scalar field potential like this, and then if you have a thermal field psi, which can give rise to correct thermal corrections to the potential of thermal mass of phi, then at high temperature, this quadratic term, this temperature, this mass term dominates, and that's why the field stays at phi equals to zero. But at after temperature T equals to this, we start to develop the other minima, which is lower than the minima here, but still the mass is positive here. But at temperature, from here we can see that this M over root 2D, it becomes tachyonic and it rolls up and it can behave. Because as we know, when it coherently oscillates, it behaves as a dark matter. So this is motivated from a point like the dark, when dark energy is explained by the similar kind of structure in nature, then you get a kind of unified like description of dark matter and dark energy. So in that kind of scenario, like we can see like when it becomes dark matter, the temperature is m over root 2d, and so the radiation density is n to the power 4 over d square. And whereas the dark matter dark energy density, which is the difference between this and this, it is of the order of epsilon to the power 4. So if we take this is a mass dimension of M. So if we take like for just for assumption like these and these are of the same order, then basically the after the dark matter is formed, the difference is pretty low. Like the dark matter and dark energy density ratio is basically given by this constant d square like that. So the after dark matter is formed in this kind of scenario, the matter radiation equality will not be far away from that. Well, that's why in this kind of scenario, the dark matter is formed pretty close to the matter radiation equality, and that's why we call it as late forming dark matter. So this is not a model, this is the idea. So in neutrino dark energy theory, these kind of things are natural. So this is the thing, good news. That is the work I did with my advisor at NYU. That exciting possibilities, because there are three generations of neutrinos, and the idea is heavier neutrinos, if you work out the model, then it can be shown that heavier neutrino rolls become tachyonic at earlier time. So heavier neutrinos become tachyonic at earlier times, and then it behaves as a dark matter, whereas the lightest neutrino, which stays at the metastable minima, and is behaving like a dark energy. So the super partner of the neutrino, not the neutrino. So here is the idea that I just spoke about. Like you have at high temperature positive mass, and then as the neutrino is redshifting, your AFF gets lower, and that's why it becomes tachyonic. And this difference behaves like the dark matter energy today. So if this really happens in nature, there is a strong cosmological signature on matter power spectra, because I'll come to that.
But did the energy dump in that dark matter cannot be that large, right? Or is it?
No, that's why you get a constant, because in the last case, like we see, like the height of the metastable thing is, it was like md to the power 4 over lambda square.
Yeah. Much
heavier. Yeah. So this is the idea. Like idea is the density perturbations we get it. Like you have a temperature fluctuations in the neutrino field, because neutrino and the sterile partners are all coupled. So the point where the temperature is lower, that it becomes tachyonic at earlier times. But where the temperature is higher, it becomes tachyonic at later time. But whenever it becomes tachyonic, the dark matter density, initial dark matter density is same, because it's the height of the metastable minima at that point. So if it becomes tachyonic at earlier times, then it redshifts more, because it goes as 1 over aq. So that's how you get a initial power spectra at g tachyonic of the matter. So basically, neutrino temperature fluctuations get imprinted on the dark matter initial power spectra. So that's why what we really need is the neutrino temperature fluctuation at early universe. It's not far away from the matter radiation equality. And then if you can get that temperature fluctuations, that basically gives rise to the matter perturbations, and then you can evolve it as normal cold dark matter. So here is the idea which I just spoke. Like if it forms earlier, then it dilutes more and less density, and if it forms later in time, it's higher density. And it can be proved that the delta rho over rho in the dark matter is basically proportional to the delta T over T of neutrino. So here, the at G tachyonic, LFDM power spectra, what I said, like is proportional to the power spectra of neutrino temperature at G tachyonic. And then it will evolve just like cerium. So here, let's calculate the power spectra to get its cosmological signature. So before G tachyonic, there was no dark matter in this theory. So at that time, neutrino may have been crystalline, like in normal lambda cerium model, or it might be interacting, because there are lots of interaction in the supersymmetric model. Now we all know, like in normal lambda cerium model, when you put neutrino, you get the density perturbation equation and the velocity perturbation equation, and these are the higher moments. If you, for a moment, just neglect the higher order term, then you can derive this equation, which is exactly a photon perturbation equation, except this anisotropic stress, this sigma nu. And this I took from archive. Like if you just solve the normal lambda CDM, then you get really higher order moments populated for neutrino particles and perturbation in radiation dominated data. And that's why when you really add all this stuff, neutrino perturbation is really damped compared to the normal CDM model. So here is the thing comparing with photon perturbation and the neutrino perturbation. So this is the photon perturbation. Here I am plotting the amplitude. Here is the k, the scale, Kolmogorov scale, and here is the time or the scale factor a. So as we see, this line is the Hubble horizon. So after crossing Hubble, after horizon crossing, we know that the photon oscillates. Whereas neutrino, because of these higher order moments, it, when you add it up, it really gets damped, and that is one of the reasons why neutrino is not a dark matter candidate, because then it really suppressed the power spectra and ruled out from the experiment. So in this case, like as a supersymmetry, there are lots of interactions are there. You can, because of these interactions, the neutrino is just behaved like a tightly coupled fluid, what happens in the normal photon baryon oscillations. And that's why you should expect oscillations in the power spectra of dark matter, because these perturbations at zeta tuning will get imprinted on the dark matter perturbation, and then it evolves as normal dark matter. So here, after getting that initial conditions, we use CDM evolution equations to evolve it until today. And that's why the CDM power spectra today gives a snapshot of the universe at zeta tuning of that interactions. So here is the result. I modified CMB first and CAMP, and then used a separate code to evolve the power spectra today. So this is our result. So here I'm plotting the power. So the top line is the normal cold dark matter, is a lambda CDM model. So, and here the oscillating line is the late forming dark matter. And here, the late-forming dark matter, if it was not interacting, say it is not interacting with neutrino, then it free streams, and that's why the power spectra gets hugely suppressed. And here is the, it might be that the sum, it's not the whole dark matter, so here it is like 30% of the dark matter is coming from this late-forming dark matter. So that's why the suppression is smaller compared to lambda CDM. So here we take G tachyonic to be 50,000. We will come to that, what's the value of G tachyonic will be in this kind of theory. So here there is a two, three things that I want to point out. The lower line here, this line, the lowermost, is the normal dark matter CDM with 5% neutrino, which we believe today. So here we get a suppression in the matter power spectra from a very large scale, because neutrino free stream up to a long time, because unless it becomes non-relativistic. But whereas in this kind of late forming dark matter, after it starts behaving as dark matter, after G tachyonic, it becomes completely normal CDM. And that's why after this scale, you get exactly the normal CDM behavior. But only at this small scale, you get huge suppressions of that early universe interactions. But good news is all the experiments like Lyman-Ankar-Forest, SDSS, and weak lensing, and 21 centimeter tomography, all these experiments are now measuring power in this nonlinear region. And if we can find an oscillations in the power spectra in this nonlinear region, that will carry a strong signature. I'm not saying that it is the kind of like the neutrino dark matter or late forming dark matter. It will be a strong signature of an interactions, you know, and that will give rise to some like beyond standard model interactions. So, and this scale, by measuring this scale exactly, we can also restrict, we can also constrain the parameter space of the theory. So this is a very recent work. We haven't done the detailed consideration of the supersymmetric theories. That is our next goal. So this is, and the good news is, in normal lambda CDM cosmology, the predicted power in the low scale, in the small scale, is really 10 times higher than the measured power. So That's why if we really can find a mechanism that can give rise to small power in the low scale, like small scale, then it also like solves some problem of lambda scaling cosmology. So here I just plotted the percentage difference of the power, and it's like just it's like within the week or we talked to lots of experimental guys, and they said it's within the because this area are not well propagated. Because this is highly nonlinear regime of structure formation. So here, I'll come to that. What is that cutoff scale depending on the theory? So here is a simple model of LFDM. There is still a lot of work to go. So the basic idea is very simple. But here, in the previous case, the accelerant field is basically here we have like three generations of neutrino. The lightest neutrino is still behaving as dark energy, but there might be other coupling between the. This is the other two generations, second and third generations, and this is N3, the scalar, and you get this kind of potential where the basic idea is the role of A is played by the scalar partner of the second generation neutrino, and when at higher temperature, the N3, the scalar partner of the third generation neutrino, remains in the metastable minima. But when the temperature gets lower, then it becomes tachyonic, and then it rolls up and behaves as a dark matter because it gives coherent oscillations. So it's the exact same setup where the role of N tilde in the last case, in one neutrino case, is basically N3 and the A is basically here, N2. Then it's basically the same thing, but as the it's a heavier neutrino, it becomes tachyonic at earlier times, and that I will come now. So here you can calculate from the mass matrix, you can calculate the mass of the third generation, which depends on the N2. That's why it gets stabilized. It's basically the same mechanism I described before. And then you get an effective potential from the temperature because this is coming from the mass, N2 dependent mass term. Then you have a number density, and that's why this is this term. And then you have a mass term which competes with that, and then you get a wave here. And that wave basically controls whether it is tachyonic or non-tachyonic. And as universe cool down, this becomes tachyonic and behaves as dark matter. So here, I will come to this is the thing, same thing. I will come to the parameter estimation of our model. So you can calculate from a simple model the T tachyonic, because when it becomes mass become negative, mass square become negative, and it depends on the neutrino masses like M2, M3, and lambda. So and also you can calculate the height of the potential. Then you can calculate the matter radiation equality. So this is the result of our calculations. It's a rough estimate because as neutrino mass is not well measured, the matter radiation equality lies in this range, and the ratio of the temperature of matter radiation equality and the dark matter dark energy equality is this. Now, if we believe that this solves the coincidence problem, then we can set the matter radiation equality from what we know from experiments, and then we can get rid of one of the constants here, and we can well measure the T tachyonic, because if we really believe that T AMRE is what we observe from experiment, so then we can find T tachyonic exactly is like within these range, so 1 electron volt to 10^3 electron volt, which gives rise to the K tachyonic of 10^-2, which and co-moving scale 8 megaparsec inverse to 20 8 megaparsec inverse. So this is the range in the power spectra, which I showed like in the right side. So these ranges are getting well measured nowadays. And if we really find the suppressions and oscillations in the power spectra, that I'm not claiming that it's a neutrino, dark matter, and dark energy, but it might be a good signature of early interactions of beyond standard model interactions. And
so
even
the lower bound is well within the linear regime. The lower bound that's well in the linear region.
Yeah, that, and if it is really in the linear region, then it's ruled out.
Yeah, that's the rule out.
Because then might be a fraction of that, and not the whole dark matter.
Right.
Yeah. So that basically this gives rise, yeah, that's why we took it to be like K tac unit to be like 4, like for G to be like 50,000. Because in this model, like for naturalness issue, right, it has to be within 3,000 to 300,000. So it's basically 100 times, scale factor when it was 100 times higher than the matter radiation equality. It has to be within that. So that push you like really in the nonlinear region. Because if it is like say 100,000, you get your suppressions in the nonlinear region, in the intergalactic scale. So here is a brief, here is not brief, here is a summary of what I have told, that mass Hering theory is a classic example of a source of dark energy, because Rayleigh neutrino can behave as a source of dark energy. There are problems with these things, and that's why when you supersymmetrize it, you get both dark energy and late forming dark matter in this kind of supersymmetric theory. And also you get rid of the corrections, the quantum corrections, and the instability issue worked by Javier-Lieja. And as neutrino mass connects both dark energy and dark matter, you don't need a huge fine-tuning like in normal quintessence model. And it might be a great proof for the coincidence. And if we demand, if we believe that this is the, like this is the solution to the coincidence problem, then automatically there will be a strong signature in the power spectra. And if we don't see that signature in the power spectra, then this theory is ruled out. So that's why it's good news, because it can be tested cosmologically, because you will definitely get a suppressions in the nonlinear region, and all the experiments are getting nearer to that region. So thank you very much.
So you've got two different A fields, and one of them sort of explodes, forms dark matter, but one of them still hasn't become tachyonic, and that's the dark
matter. Is the not A, is the scalar partner of the neutrino, right, and the neutrino?
Scalar partner?
Yeah.
Which one is?
So there are three scalar partners. So one is, so these are the things which are now the source for dark matter, because the other, because the first generation is behaving as the dark energy.
Right.
Yeah.
But what's the field that's
For the first generation, you have an accelerant field A.
Right.
And you have a scalar partner of the stellar neutrino.
Right.
And they becomes a, they form a, they get a hybrid nature of potential.
Okay.
That's why you get a metastable minima, and that is a dark energy.
Okay.
But for this case, it is no longer in the because the N3 field, this is, we haven't done the exact model building of these things. But the idea is, you can actually, you can neglect the coupling of accelerant to these kind of fields. These are not so important, because these are, these become important at recent for the dark energy. There are some reason behind that. So you get a hybrid potential of N2 and N3. So A, N2 is exactly playing the role of A, and N3 is like the other scalar field. And this N3 becomes tachyonic at redshifts between 3,000 to 300,000. And that, yes, and so it is very late compared to the normal weak scale dark matter. Because in that case, it is exactly like in normal axion, you know, axion dark matter is also like where coherent oscillations gives rise to dark matter. But in that case, you cannot, because the scale, the sub, there is no such suppression scale, because axion is also formed at much earlier time, at higher scale energy. So this is a very new idea, like is the late forming dark matter, because it's like 100 eV, and they formed at 100 electron volt or 10 electron volt like that. And we want it to be nearer to the matter radiation equality, then it, is, it gives a strong signatures in the power spectrum. Yeah.
Two questions. So this dark plate, dark matter can fit galaxy rotation curves?
This dark matter?
Yeah.
Yeah, because this exactly, this is exactly the normal cold dark matter. Because after it is formed, it's exactly the cold dark matter.
Another question is, so you really believe that you end up with no fine tuning of consciousness?
Yeah, because when neutrino mass is, because the matter radiation equality here and the dark matter and dark energy equality, which is basically the related to fine tuning, because if we really want the dark matter and dark energy equality to happen very close to today, then it depends on four things. One is in this model, because we haven't done all the model details that we are working, we'll be working, but it depends on the neutrino masses and the coupling lambda. So if neutrino mass gets well measured out, like, then you can really constrain theory. It might work or it might not, but you don't need a huge order of magnitude fine tuning.
So you still need a lambda 10 to minus 11.
That lambda is not there. This lambda I'm talking about, lambda is the coupling between N true and the, say, the, no, this is not that. This is of the order of I. That lambda is different. That is why you're talking about the first model. That is the X coupling to, that is lambda, H,
right.
N.
So
that lambda is different, because neutrino mass is to get low value of neutrino mass. So you can say like it's unique.
If you thought about supernova explosions, because it'd be crazy complicated.
There have been like lots of, or like 100 of works on the mass varying neutrino things.
Right.
They have looked for the supernova. I haven't gone through that, because because I can give you reference, because there are lots of work on supernova.
But naively, it shouldn't affect anything, because there's this small particle in this game is 10 to the minus 11. Which, if you think about axioms, it would be, you know, the ratio of...
No, but
I don't I agree with that, but I meant...
But they can,
some fixing.
Yeah, they change it.
On the way up, you have double crosses. It must be seen to change.
Yeah, they have done all these things. I can give you a reference, because the mixing, because neutrino mass is so low that even a tiny coupling like that can change the things because of these extra interactions.
The latest NASA press release claims that they've seen dark energy back to 9 billion years, from 7 to 9 billion years. So we keep seeing it, get further back. The question is, what does it mean to say that the acceleration is happening now? So, okay.
No, acceleration is happening now means dark energy might be there, but it takes over dark matter recently, because otherwise structure formations will get spoiled. Means dark energy might be there, like normal quintessence, like that, but dark matter.
Yeah.
Has to dominate over
that. They're not saying dark energy was dominating.
They're not saying
that.
Like,
they're just saying
that the
equation of state was supposed to be.
And
in your case, you just make the potential sufficient to that.
Yeah. Yeah, because if it stays in the metastable minima, it's.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the crossing of the top.
Yeah.
Right, so then the vibration does the problem.
So I do have one question. So if you say that our spectrum, the Brownian power spectrum, is suppressed on very small scales, isn't it true that if you, I can't do that too much, because if I do just the...
then it will be indistinguishable from normal CDM. Because if you push it really farther,
that's not what I meant. I mean, if you cut, even though you say this is all your suppression is happening on nonlinear scales today, still.
No, it might, because if you take G tachyonic to be 3,000, then it becomes like here.
My question is, you cannot arbitrarily suppress even the primordial power spectrum on scales that are to be nonlinear, because if you did n-body simulation,
that gets effect from that. That's why we talked to Roman Sosimaro, and he said like it's kind of in the borderline. It can be tested. Yeah, it's like if you really suppress high, then even if you do nonlinear simulations, it can be ruled out from experiment. Yeah, because
right.
yeah, such large suppressions will get an impression of the nonlinear simulations. Yeah. Maybe the oscillations might get erased. Yeah, because of. Yeah.
What's the order of magnitude suppression in small scale?
Yeah, a small scale, like we talk, is like it's 50%, 40%, and it's 40%. But we talked to Uro Seljak, who is an expert. This is like in 40% suppression is okay. Like you can, when you do nonlinear simulations, the things get, yeah. It's, yeah, they are still within relevant experiment. Like even for the normal 5% neutrino, like for just forgetting about this theory, normal like 5% neutrino with neutrino mass point, say take it 0.6 electron volt, just for, and then you get like 40% suppression in the cosmic. So in that case, and that's where you get the bound on neutrino mass by analyzing the power spectra. So 40% is allowed, because that's why the neutrino mass, the sum of the neutrino mass is 0.6, like from the power spectra, or 0.7 electron.
So,
what prevents you in your theory to have a coupling like A squared and B squared?
What prevents me? No, that term might be there, because A squared and
A as today the expectation value is mass Planck or something. So wouldn't that be considered to be a fine tuning to put that cap on very small?
So you said like.
Yeah, because that gives an effective mass to the x of this Planck mass.
So,
yeah.
So
you have to put the cap in front of it, suppress it a lot. So that I think it's. Can be considered your thinking.
Yeah.
It would be much less than 10 minus 11.
Oh, yeah.
Not sure.
No, why do you say that A has the expectation value of Planck?
If A has the value today or mass Planck.
Is that true?
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
This is what.
That is a normal, point, a normal point of sense.
Hard to weigh ultimately. It must be 15 orders of Planck energy.
I don't think so. Because no. See, they take n times A, right? And they need to n relatively large. So I don't think A has an n Planck. The mass term that we take for the stirrup is n times A, right? If A is n Planck, then the state is a neutrino that I'm planning. That's not what they think. So I actually think that expectation of value of A is again in 10^-3 random volts of the.
Oh, sorry, yeah. The lambda A is almost close to.
But still, the electric volt would be.
Yeah.
I mean, you need the.
If you put A squared, H squared term with the order 1 coefficient, that would create problems not for the Higgs, but for
A squared.
That will not be
sufficient.
That will not be a dark energy anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
You need it.
Yeah.
What do you do? It's too much.
Yeah.
It has to be smallest.
Yeah.
Question I keep asking. I apologize for this question. It must be 10 models of
calculation.
Yeah. I have two. Two of them. I think the ultimate decide which is the right one. Do you have another one?
No.
It's a rough
this has predictions.
And also, we know neutrino exists. Yeah, neutrino has mass. Yeah, that's why, and it has such a low mass.
If you don't see the oscillations in the nonlinear regime, probably just cover it.
And also, I haven't worked on the other field. The mass bearing neutrino things also gives lots of predictions in the what we pointed out in the neutrino oscillations things. there are lots of work going on that things. So still now it's okay, as I know.
Yeah. The simplest explanation is still Einstein's cosmological constant.
Yeah, then
we have theoretical Laurentian problems with it. But the fact is, it just simply explains the table.
Yeah, lambda cerium is still very well.
The only way to decide the fact is wrong is to measure W to 0.005%.
I got an email this morning that supernova legacy survey people think they've got over 2005 or 2006, they've found a huge number of supernovae.
Yeah.
And that will come out in the next couple of years. I don't know how much it will help, but we will have more data about expansion history as well.
So when do we give up?
I think we have to
W is equal to minus 1 plus or minus 0.002. Am I willing to put it because I have my models, okay, and I like mine better than my ones, which is 10 to the 120 times too big and stuff like that. So what does all this mean? I mean, how do we get physics out of this?
Killing models on the market. I can't see any way to do it.
Yeah.
There's a model killer.
There's no easy to kill a model. There's no silver bullet.
Well, we thought we killed DGP, but it turns out it's okay.
And also there's the issue of...
And also lots of scalar fields are not like well consistent with the data. Lots of business.
Yeah. This issue of the bullet cluster.
Yeah.
I'm involved in a heavy duty analysis of the data. And so I would hold on this issue of not having Wi-Fi ground in Spain.
So how many extra unseen fields does your theory have? How many undetected fields extra does your theory have?
You
don't just have gravity.
One, and then the varying gravitational constant. One varying gravitational constant, that's it. So, all I have to do is produce a consistent gravity theory, modified gravity theory, which explains the data.
Well, you see, John.
Then you can say what you want. I mean,
GM, it depends on the scalar field, you can cast as a scale of tens of the field of gravity with phi coupling to all masses in the field. Once you start doing radiative corrections, you are up against the huge fine-tuning problem, right? Because you cannot explain why the mass of this field is not going to be, say, weak scale or 10 to minus whatever. It's very heavy. And the advantage of this is in the custodial sense, it's nature. But you can put these things and calculate, and you don't get, a necessity of subtracting huge numbers at the point of learning. So that is very different.
This is a classical gravity theory. It should fit to the paper.
And they have
what's this going to do with radiant pressure?
Because things we live in the world where there are quantum effects. can you tell me what the one loop sort of effective action in your theory is?
No, you don't know. Quantum field has quantum quadratic and quantum divergences. Normalizable theories.
This is normalizable?
Yeah.
No, but I mean, to be fair, right, since we're just starting an argument, right, to be fair, the first thing you compute for gravity is lambda.
Which is wrong by
naturalness arguments. I agree, they work great, but...
Lambda's in here, gravity.
Well, I tell you what, this thing requires one subtraction for lambda, and no subtraction for the dependence of lambda. And that is different from all scalar tensor gravity theories, which need, infinite number of subtractions, or very large number of subtractions.
So what do you say?
I squared, phi, four, etc.
So what do you say if I measure W different than minus one? Then there are two scales, right? There's the lambda, then there's 10 to the minus 33 eV. Right?
Yeah.
So then what do I do with naturalness? What would you say to that observation?
If W is...
It's not minus 1. I'm just curious, what would the particle physicists say?
You have to take into account.
Then you would say your physics at 10 to the minus 3 for EP. Whatever.
Yeah. Right. No, I'm talking in general, comparing the things that you know have scalar theories that have the interactions. They all there's problems except for one particular case when you protect this interaction to matter by time coupling and have new sector in between.
You just called it tensor scalar. Tension means gravity. As soon as you bring in gravity, the whole thing is up for grabs. You lose the quantity of vibration for the vacuum.
Well,
it's
not. This theory doesn't need an infinite number of subtractions.
Only one
for the cosmological process. Because the phi field is protected from the mass by supersymmetry in this case. The breaking scale of supersymmetry is 10 to the minus 3 electron volts. So everything is calculable except for the cosmological constant. And this cosmological constant doesn't have any phi dependence, so you can subtract the number, right?
I mean, you can't couple the graviton to the scale of 3. Why not?
You can, but the mass of the scalar field is protected by supersymmetry, right? There's no scalar field in it.
Why are you arguing supersymmetry?
He's just saying this is better than normal.
Yeah, not
I'm not sure how much you're actually disagreeing with each other.
No, I agree. I don't think we disagree.
No, but still, I agree that from a naturalness point of view, there's one tuning, and quintessence has two. Okay, let's be honest.
Quintessence has many. If interacting quintessence.
Take
Camille. Right? You can calculate a number of terms, and all of them have to be subtracted for us to have interesting physics. Then is that the reason of not doing this physics? I don't think so. We should continue doing this physics, right? Because there are many things sometimes when fine tuning happens, right? Having a model without the fine tuning is a big step in some sense.
I agree. I mean, I was just saying that take hidden quintessence compared to light, just for the sake of argument. You would say one tuning versus two. That's how I see it. Right.
If it's non-interacting,
that's what I'm saying. Hidden quintessence. Yeah. You know, just coupled to gravity. Right. It's one versus two. So then, are you going to say that necessarily one is, or let's say this model only has one? Would you say that those models are better than quintessence? Naively, yes. But given that only one parameter has been observed, which is CC, which is completely off by orders of magnitude, it's very hard for me to use the second parameter as the benchmark for which is better. That's my only point.
I agree.
No, I
should. Observational
no, little I, I have nothing against non-interacting quintessence. This stuff I like because it's the only known example where you can sort of bypass the
pseudo Nelson boson.
Right. The one that gives coherent long range directives. You can of course couple things derivatively, and that
would be. Oh, you're saying that this one has.
This is non derivative coupling, and it's still natural in technical sense.
That's true.
And that's the only example I know.
Very good, thanks.